So with the permission of all the devotees, try to speak something on this verse. So take permission of Parivida Prabhu. So here Prabhupada, in his purport, is making a very a statement that we've heard before, but a statement which again hits home when he says it. Prabhupada says, "Therefore the duty of all devotees is to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere, all over the world, because all living entities are without Krishna consciousness and are suffering the pangs of material existence." One time Prabhupada, he actually went to America, and as often when he landed in a country, there would be reporters and press awaiting to question him. So this time was no different. Prabhupada landed in America and there was a group of reporters. So Prabhupada entered into the press conference. Amongst the reporters was actually one reporter from India who had actually come from India and had taken residence in America. So he was one of the reporters. And in the middle of the conference, quite abruptly, he kind of stood up and questioned Prabhupada. He says, "Why have you come here?" So Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "Why have you come here?" Obviously, he was also from India. So the reporter said, "I have come here for better opportunities." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, me too." And then Prabhupada said, "But me and you, we are different. You came from India to America to take. You have come here to America because you have come to take a better career. You have come because you want to take a better financial situation. You have come here to make and take a better material situation for yourself. But I have not come here to America to take. I have come here to give. Golokera Prema Dan, this Prema Dan, this charity of love, of Godhead, I've come to give." So this was Prabhupada. He came from India to America to give this wonderful gift. I always remember upstairs in the Brahmacharya Ashram, there used to be one devotee here, and we used to have lockers beside each other. And he had written this wonderful quote of Prabhupada on his locker, and I always used to see it every day. And it was a quote. Prabhupada actually said it to Tamal Krishna Maharaj in his final days. He said, in this quote, Prabhupada says, "I have no other motive. I am only planning how people can become happy." So this is a Vaishnava. "I have no other motive. I am only planning how others can become happy." And this mood was very much instilled in Srila Prabhupada by his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. One time whilst lecturing Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he made one quote that became etched within the consciousness of all the Gaudiya Math followers. He said very strongly that, "I wish that every single selfless, tender-hearted member of the Gaudiya Math be willing to shed 200 gallons of blood for the upliftment of the spiritual corpus of the entire humanity." So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, that was his measure, 200 gallons of blood that we should be willing to shed in order to uplift the suffering conditioned souls. And of course we know that this activity is also very much appreciated by Krishna, because Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of the Gita, "Nachatasman manusheshu kashkin me priyakritama bhavita nachame tashmad anya priyataro bhuvi." Krishna explains that for one who gives this message of Krishna, of the Bhagavad Gita, to others, devotional service is guaranteed. And anya priyataro bhuvi, there is no one more dear to Krishna than that person who gives others the opportunity to free themselves from suffering by taking up Krishna consciousness. So this compassionate mentality of the devotee is the very essence of a Vaishnava. We see in the life of so many Vaishnavas, Haridas Thakur, for example, we can take. Haridas Thakur is the very emblem of compassion. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to him in Jagannath Puri, we can find this discourse in the Antilila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lamenting that how with all these suffering conditioned souls, how will they be uplifted? Haridas Thakur makes the famous comment, Prabhu Chinta Nakariha. My dear Mahaprabhu, don't be in anxiety. Because your anxiety to uplift all the conditioned souls, I am taking that anxiety upon myself. So you don't worry. We will take the responsibility to spread your holy names everywhere. And by spreading these holy names, your anxiety will be relieved because people will then become connected to you by this process. So Haridas Thakur really was the embodiment of compassion. When he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, we find this narration also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that when Haridas Thakur was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, then as these aggressors were attacking him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found out, and immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to come there with the chakra to destroy these aggressors. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming there, he heard Haridas's prayer. And Haridas Thakur's prayer was that, please do not punish these aggressors for what they are doing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what could he do? He had come there to punish these aggressors for their violence towards a Vaishnava. But Haridas Thakur, he was praying, no, please do not punish them. And therefore it's explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually covered Haridas Thakur's body and took the beats on his own back. And later on we find in the Mahaprakash Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing to each of the devotees his opulence, then he reminded Haridas Thakur, do you remember when you were being beaten in 22 marketplaces? Haridas Thakur said, yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do you remember how you were praying for the upliftment of those aggressors? Haridas Thakur said, yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what could I do? I came there to punish them, but I heard your prayer, and therefore I had to do something. Then he looked at Haridas Thakur and he showed his back with all the beats on the back, the scars. And Haridas Thakur fainted. So this is the kind of quality of a Vaishnava, that imagine someone comes to you in such a violent mentality to harm you, and all you can think of is how to uplift them. Someone comes to you with the most degraded mentality in front of you, and your reaction to that is to try to give them the greatest benefit. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also made this famous comment that Lord Krishna, bless me with the consciousness of always wanting the highest benefit, even for my worst enemies. So this essential quality of compassion is required in order to preach. Prabhupada is saying here, all devotees should preach. It's very difficult to preach unless you have compassion. Of course, we do have other motivations for preaching. Sometimes we preach because we want name, fame, recognition, distinction. Sometimes on a little bit of a higher level, we preach because we know it's purifying. If I preach, then it will purify my heart. Also higher than that, sometimes we preach because we feel a duty that I've been given something wonderful, I should give it to someone else. So there are different motivations by which a devotee may take to preaching. But the ultimate consideration that we all have to come to is to preach out of compassion for others. Because it is this compassion that makes our preaching potent. It's explained that if the purity of a preacher is very high, but the receptivity of the people that preacher is preaching to is very low, because of the high purity of the preacher, Krishna consciousness can still manifest in that exchange. Sometimes we find the purity of the preacher may not be so high, but the receptivity of the people are very high, and in that situation, Krishna consciousness can also manifest. But we see that when the purity of a preacher is very high, then that preacher is able to implant the seed of bhakti, the bhakti lata bij, within even the hearts of unwilling souls. And therefore, when they ask Srila Prabhupada, how is it that we took to Krishna consciousness, even though we came from such degraded backgrounds, Prabhupada said, you had no qualification, I made your qualification. So the compassion and purity of a Vaishnava is what allows the Vaishnava, or what Krishna works through that Vaishnava to implant the seed of bhakti. And therefore, what I thought we could reflect on today, because in this purport, Prabhupada, I think, also gives some indications of how we can develop this compassion. If we're to effectively preach Krishna consciousness, then we have to really make a concerted effort to develop this compassion within us. They have a famous saying in the world that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we can have so much for people, but if we don't have the spirit of compassion and selflessness within us, then even though we have so much to give them, we may not become such powerful carriers of that message. So in this purport, I think Prabhupada gives the first indication of how to develop compassion. Prabhupada says, one can very intelligently conclude that without devotional service, without becoming Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy. Krishna makes this statement in the Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukado Shanu Darshanam. Krishna explains that we should have two types of darshan every day. Every day we have the darshan of the deities at 7 o'clock, and that's very purifying. But Krishna explains we should have another darshan every day, and that darshan is the darshan of suffering in the world. The suffering of birth, death, disease, and old age. When we see suffering in the world, it propels our compassion. It ignites that spirit of compassion within us. Often we can live in the bubble of our own life and not see how much people are actually suffering in the world. But the material world is really not a very nice place. As Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj put it in no uncertain terms, this material world is like a toilet. Like just recently, we had the terrible disaster in Japan. So I don't know the latest statistics, but I heard something like 4,000 deaths, hundreds of thousands of people have just become homeless, just everything destroyed, all possessions. Incredible suffering. They call it a disaster zone. But actually, this whole world is a disaster zone. Because in some countries, the suffering of Adidevika, natural disasters, may be prevalent. In other countries, the sufferings of Adibhautika may be prevalent. Sufferings created by other living beings. Isn't it? In so many countries, we see oppressive political regimes, unstable social situations, people are having family problems, another very, very acute type of suffering. And in countries where there's no Adidevika and no Adibhautika, then maybe there's Adiatmika, sufferings that are created by one's own body and mind. And this is also a very acute suffering in the world today. Last week we did a program and there was about 20 people came, new people. So I thought, let's do an icebreaker with them. So we did an icebreaker and I gave them all a piece of paper and I said, on the piece of paper I want you to write three things. One thing that's true about yourself, one thing that's false about yourself, and one thing that you wish was true. So they all writing it down, and then I collected up all the papers and then I jumbled it up and then I gave it back. And then one by one they all introduced each other. They said, this is the person's name, this is what's true, this is what's false, this is what they wish for. And then it came to Jesper, actually. So I don't know if Jesper's here. So Jesper had one piece of paper in front of him. So I said, go ahead. So he introduced the person's name and he said, this is what's true about him. This is what's false about him. And then I looked at him and his head kind of dropped. So I said, carry on. So he was kind of hesitating. So I said, no, carry on. What does this person wish for? And he read it out. And the person had said, I wish I could die. And obviously, he had already said the person's name, so everyone was looking at this person. And this person just shrugged his shoulders and said, it's true. So you got to think that if for someone to say that in a public forum means it's really come to the core of their heart. Actually, the Samaritans say that every 62 minutes in this country, one person commits suicide. So that means by the time this class starts and it ends, one person in the UK feels so frustrated, so hopeless, you know, sees no light at the end of the tunnel that the only recourse they see is to end their own life. So such acute sufferings we see in the world that Krishna basically confirms, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Krishna has kind of rubber stamped this world. It's temporary and it's full of distress. It's just the fact of life. The material world is just a can of worms. Once you open it up, you can try and control it, try to mitigate this problem, that problem, but it just becomes an uncontrollable affair. Really, really not a very happy place at all. So when the devotee sees this suffering in the world, we have to really see this suffering, because when we see this suffering, then we realize the urgency of actually spreading Krishna consciousness. One time Prabhupada was traveling on a road and they were doing some road works. So there was a sign, temporary inconvenience, permanent improvement. So Prabhupada, he looked at that and he just laughed and he said, material world means temporary improvements, permanent inconvenience. Right? You can try to make so many solutions in this world, but it just doesn't work. Because Krishna's already rubber-stamped the world. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. So unless we see the suffering of the world, it's very difficult to develop compassion. And therefore, Prabhupada again is outlining in this purport, unless one has Krishna consciousness, one cannot be happy. And therefore, one meditation we can have in developing our compassion is to see the suffering, the acute suffering of the world around us. And that's why also it's nice to go out and preach and be with the people. Because when you're with the people, then you realize what the world is. Otherwise, we live in our own bubble. It's amazing, actually, on book distribution, how much people will open up to you. Because actually, number one, people are looking for someone to speak to. And number two, when they meet you often on the street, they have less inhibition to talk to you, because they just think they're going to meet you once and they're never going to see you again. So often on the street, people just reveal very, very personal things about their life, which make you realize how much suffering there is in this world. I remember 2 years ago on the marathon, on the last 2 days of the marathon, one day we were in Leicester and the other day we were in Nottingham. And 2 days in a row, I was with Janakinath, we met people who actually wanted to commit suicide on the street. So really so much suffering in this world. So this is the first kind of meditation we can have to see how much suffering there is in the world. But then beyond that, Prabhupada also gives another hint of how we can be compassionate, or how we can develop this compassion within ourselves. Prabhupada quotes this famous verse, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manushya Janma Jar Janma Sarthaka Karikar Para Upakar. And in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying two things. Yes, do the para upakar for others, do the preaching, help others. But also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Janma Sarthaka. Make your life meaningful. Bring fulfillment, satisfaction, and happiness in your life through Krishna. And when you have that fulfillment in your life, when you're experiencing satisfaction in your life, when you're relishing the higher taste in your life, then only you can be compassionate to others. If we're not relishing Krishna consciousness, if we're not relishing spiritual life ourselves, where is the question of going out and trying to convince others that this process will make them happy? It's said that of the Pancha Tattva, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Patra patra vichar nahi nahi stan stan, je jane paye tane kare premadan, lutiya khaiya diya bandar ujade, ascharya bandara prema shataguna bade. Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the activities of the Pancha Tattva. Patra patra vichar nahi. Without considering this place or that place, who is qualified and who is not qualified. Je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. Whoever they met, they gave them Krishna prem. In the next verse, Kaviraj Goswami goes deeper into it and explains the process by which they actually did it. It's explained, lutiya khaiya diya bandara ujade. So the Pancha Tattva had the treasure house of love of Godhead. What is the first thing they did? Lutiya, they broke it open. Then what is the second thing they did? Khaiya, they relished it. And then what's the third thing they did? Diya, they gave it to others. Unless one is relishing, how can one give to others? Therefore we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing the holy name in the association of his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, he got the mantra from Ishwarapuri and immediately began to chant it and experienced great ecstasy. So much ecstasy that he went back to Ishwarapuri and he said, Kiba mantra dila goshai? What kind of mantra have you given me? Kiba hoya bal? What is the power of this mantra? Japite japite mantra. I am chanting this mantra again and again. Korite pagal. And I'm becoming a madman. Sometimes I dance, sometimes I cry, sometimes I faint, sometimes I lose consciousness of my own self. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the kirtans at Srivas Thakur's house and was relishing the holy name. Because only when you relish can you actually give to others. Otherwise, where is the question of having compassion for others? We have compassion for ourselves. One devotee was joking that if a book distributor is not relishing, then they go out onto the street and they feel more compassion for themselves, seeing how other people are enjoying more. Right? If you're not enjoying or relishing yourself. And therefore, Prabhupada always made this point that we are doctors, we're spiritual doctors, but we're patients as well. We're also trying to purify our own hearts and get better. And therefore, if we don't spend time to take the medicine ourselves, then there's no question of giving it to others. And you see this also, like I was just in Vrindavan in January. And well, one thing you realize is the depth of the sadhana of these great Vaishnavas. Like you can go into Vrindavan and you can go to Radha Shyam Sundar temple and you can ask the pujari to see the bhajan kutir of Shyamananda Pandit. And then he'll give you a key and then you'll walk down two flights of stairs deep into the earth and you'll see where Shyamananda Pandit in complete seclusion would spend hours and hours every day just with the holy name. In such seriousness, just chanting, concentrating, relishing, and absorbing the nectar of the holy name. You can walk a little bit further from Radha Shyamsunda Temple and go to Radha Damodar Temple. There you can see Prabhupada's rooms, where Prabhupada spent so many hours and so many days and weeks and years meditating on his mission and going deep in his own realization of Krishna consciousness. Even if you go into the courtyard of Radha Damodar Temple, you can see the samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami. How did Bhugarbha Goswami get his name? Because Bhu means earth and Garbha means the womb. So Bhugarbha Goswami got his name because he would do his sadhana in the womb of the earth. He would go deep underground and just spend time with the holy name, just relishing. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaurinitai ki. So often we may see that sadhana, we often treat it as a preparatory activity, that I'm doing this so that I can get on with the other things that I have to do during the day. But actually, eventually, sadhana has to become an activity which is relished. Therefore, when we talk of these great acharyas, they didn't have sadhana kutirs. They had bhajan kutirs. Because bhajan indicates a type of spiritual practice in which there is great depth and great relish and great absorption. And only when we have this great relish and absorption and taste for Krishna consciousness, only when we're experiencing the bliss can we be compassionate towards others. So therefore Prabhupada gives this indication here. So if we want to develop compassion, number one, Prabhupada is saying, see the suffering in the world. Number two, develop the higher taste yourself. But also we see throughout Prabhupada's books that he's recommending that everyone preach, even if they don't have the compassion. As I said at the start of the class, we have many, many different motivations why we may preach. But preaching is such a powerful activity because it draws so much mercy that even if one is doing it for the wrong motivations, still, by performing that activity and benefiting the souls of the world, one will attract the mercy by which eventually their ulterior motives will be purified and they will actually develop true compassion. It's like one devotee in Scotland, he was telling us, he was a Sankirtan devotee for maybe 15 years, something like that, at one point. So one day he went out onto the street and he met someone from another religious faith. So this person was saying, you know, giving out flyers, promoting their faith. And so this person was saying, you should practice this faith. You should come over, you know, by doing this, you will develop love of God. This is what the other person was saying. You know, I love God. So the Sankirtan devotee looked at this other person and said, you love God? The person said, yeah, I love God. So then this person, he looked at the Sankirtan devotee and he said, what, you don't love God? And then the Sankirtan devotee, he just became very real with this other person. He said, I do not love God. I don't even believe that God exists. I'm standing out here, I've been standing out here for 15 years, and I tell you what, I don't even love any of these people here. I only love myself. And then the Sankirtan devotee turned the book around, and obviously Prabhupada's picture is on the back, and he said, but I know one thing, that this person who came, Srila Prabhupada, he was very close to God, and he loved the people. And because he has told me to do this, I'm doing it. And I have confidence that by following what he's doing or what he's telling me to do, that I will develop this love and this compassion that you're talking about. So it's kind of like that we preach because it was ordered by Prabhupada. And even though we may have the wrong motivations, we preach and simultaneously pray for this purity and love and compassion to come. And then gradually it develops within us like that. So as we preach, then what happens is we attract the mercy of Prabhupada and the Parampara. And as we attract the mercy, gradually we become more and more purified. All the lust in our hearts turns to love. All the pride in our hearts turns to humility. All the harshness within us will eventually turn into tolerance. And ultimately, all the envy within our hearts will turn into compassion for others. So it's a process. So we develop compassion. Also, one can say, finally, by engaging in compassionate activity towards others like that. So in this verse, Prabhupada is explaining. I'll just read one other thing Prabhupada says. The entire world is suffering for want of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all human beings born in India to make their lives perfect by Krishna consciousness and then preach the gospel of Krishna consciousness all over the world so that others may become happy by executing the principles of Krishna consciousness. If one actually reads the purport to this verse, 941 in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, then Prabhupada actually clarifies. He says that this order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given to, as is said in this verse, Bharata Bhumi, those who have taken birth in India. Prabhupada clarifies in his purport and says, but in our Krishna consciousness movement, people from all over the world are preaching, and we are very happy by this. And Prabhupada says they are receiving also the full mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for their activities. So you can watch the DVD of Prabhupada. There's one DVD where he's on national television and Prabhupada says, I am begging you. Prabhupada says it twice. He says, I am begging you, please help me spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So to preach is an activity which is very close to Prabhupada's heart and makes us very close to Srila Prabhupada. And what does preaching mean? Essentially, preaching means to bring someone closer to Krishna. Sometimes we have a stereotyped idea of what preaching means. It means to give a lecture or to do a certain activity, to distribute many books. And these are all definitely preaching activities. But preaching essentially means to bring someone closer to Krishna. Like one time Prabhupada was walking in the village here and he walked past one of the villagers and Prabhupada looked at the villager and said, good morning. And the villager replied, good morning. And then they walked a little bit down and one of Prabhupada's disciples asked Prabhupada, why didn't you say Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, no, I said good morning. They will respect that here is Hare Krishna, but also a very cultured gentleman. And because of that appreciation for me, they will be move closer to Krishna and also be more open to hearing from us in the future. So preaching is not stereotyped. Essentially, what we're trying to do is bring people closer to Krishna. That is what preaching is. And even it may not even be so much what you say, but it's how you carry yourself. Like Ghanshyam Priya was telling me this story of Abraham Lincoln. That one time, one person came to Abraham Lincoln and said, I like to preach, I love to preach. And Abraham Lincoln said to him, yes, you should preach. You should preach all the time. In fact, 99.9% of the time you should preach. And then now and again, you can say something. Now and again, you can say something. But 99.9% of the time, you should preach. And now and again, you can say something. So maybe we can say so many things, but what people are tuning into is how we carry ourselves. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Apani achari bhakti korila prachar. I am preaching Krishna consciousness by my own example. Apani achari bhakti korila prachar. So these are all the different dynamics that preaching may not be so much what you say, but even just how you carry yourself. So, in so many ways, if we can find some way to bring people closer to Krishna, then this is very glorious and will make us very dear to Krishna, make us very close to Prabhupada, and will ultimately help us to purify our hearts. Because as we have these lines that are given to us by Prabhupada, purity is the force, books are the basis, utility is the principle, and preaching is the essence. So we got a few minutes left. I always usually go over time, so I thought I'd stop early this time. And if anyone would like to raise any points, Will.